Hey now, and a very good Tuesday afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being with us. Jason Ross, it's Ken Rudolph, you heard there at the top of the hour, and I am Damian Barling. A hell of a day planned for you. Anthony Tolliver of your Sacramento Kings will join us at the very top of the 2 o'clock hour, and then at 2:40, author and former Sacramento Kings coach George Karl will be with us to talk about his book. And probably more specifically, the reaction to his book.
It's been a lot of that.
A lot of reaction to it. Most of it negative.
I love the book.
Surprises no one ever.
Because his whole thing is all about pulling that, you know, the curtain back and showing you exactly what happens.
Is that a good idea?
Well, yeah, because don't we often wonder, hey, what happens when you go back in the locker room? What happens on the bus? What happens at the back of the plane?
Sure. Rephrase. I apologize.
What's that?
Is it a good idea for someone who wants to coach again?
Probably not.
I don't think he. Yeah. I don't. We're gonna ask him, but yeah. I have a funny feeling that coach knows.
It ain't happening.
He ain't coming back. So I think this is one of those. Okay, really, I'm done. All right, then here we go.
I don't think he realizes the tone of his book, because he's been doing this. The book is out today, by the way. It's available wherever you get your books from, and bookstores are there still such
things? They're still around.
There's like three of them.
Yeah.
In the country or just in Sacramento?
No, in the country.
Yeah. Okay, all right. The book is in stores now. Furious George, My 40 Years Surviving NBA Divas, Coolest GMs, and Poor Shot Selection. Nothing about that screams happy.
No,
and
but yeah.
I don't think he understands the tone that his book has, because we've all been through the book. And you just look at the title right there. I've heard him do all of the interviews. I mean, he's been on Zach Lowe's podcast. He's been on, you know, Sam talked to him a couple of weeks ago. We've heard him all over the place. I don't think he fully grasped how negative the excerpts that were released of his book were.
And I think everybody here locally is missing the biggest piece. I mean, I personally think the juiciest parts might be Sacramento Tales, but we don't know those yet.
Not, that's the key word there.
Yet.
Maybe that'll be the final question for him. Is there a part two coming? Is there a special paperback edition?
Yeah.
Have you actually already written the Sacramento Kings years and you're just waiting to release them?
Because that's what we want. Yeah, exactly. But I feel like most coaches at this level, if you ask them to tell the stories, it would be a lot of negative. Mm-hmm. Because think about it. How often are you going to win the championship?
Not many guys do.
Right? And so there's going to be that. That's always going to hang over. And then, come on, man, no matter what sport you're dealing with, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, if you're dealing with a group of grown individuals and you have to get them to go along with what you're trying to lay out, and this individual knows he makes 10 times what you make, that's a tricky existence for three plus decades.
In a beautiful segue, that's George Karl. Again, he'll be with us at 2:40. Anthony Tolliver at 2 o'clock. In a beautiful segue, I just got this alert on my phone as I looked down while you were talking. Ramona Shelburne tweeted this. Phil Jackson met with Carmelo Anthony today and asked him if he wanted to remain with the Knicks. That's the end of the statement right there.
No, there's no more to it?
There's no more to it. Who do you think that came from? Off the top of your head right now, and I'll read it to you again. Phil Jackson met with Carmelo Anthony today and asked if he wanted to remain with the Knicks. Who do you think that came from?
Well, it's not Carmelo. We can push
him
to the side.
No, it's absolutely not Carmelo, because the answer would have been there if it was Carmelo.
Oh, I thought maybe an agent put that out there. No?
Phil put it out there.
Oh, Phil. Oh, to make Phil look good. Like, hey, I met with
him. The ball is in his court now.
Right. But here's the thing. Who in the league is stupid enough to trade for Carmelo Anthony?
Yeah, because let's play.
Seriously.
Who in the league has enough money to trade for Carmelo?
Well, let's play both answers. He says, yes, I want to be a Knick. Okay, Phil, did you want that answer?
Well,
now you keep him.
Now, you keep him.
Now he says,
crap.
He's like, no, think about it some more.
Yeah.
No, go home and think about it. Talk to Lala.
Talk to Lala. Hey, yeah.
Remember, she loves Los Angeles.
But how scary is that? Let's say he says no. All right, now it's back to the, oh, boy. Now I got a deal. And now knowing that he wants out makes it harder to trade him in some sense. And, yeah, who wants him?
Because you're going to have to give up something of serious value to get this thing that is of no value.
And in like an hour, Ramona Shelburne's going to tweet, Phil Jackson asked Carmelo Anthony again if he wants to remain with the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
6 o'clock tonight. For the third time today, Phil Jackson has asked Carmelo Anthony if he wants to remain a Knick. He hasn't gotten the answer he wanted yet.
What I mean, they're in
that's
a tough
edited.
Spot.
That's oh, that's going to get bad.
Well, I mean,
that is
what can
get
they
so
do?
Bad.
I mean, realistically, what can they possibly do? There's no one that's really going to trade, equal assets for Carmelo Anthony. But then here's the thing: they're going to put his value at a certain spot, and if I'm any GM or coach, I'm like, no, he's not worth that, and you know no. it.
You know what you do if you're any GM? You go, you know, I recall how the last Carmelo trade worked out.
Click.
I'll pass.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Click. You don't have dial tones anymore, but that's what that was.
There really aren't. Like you're going to have to, yeah, you had to explain what that
so
was.
So kids, we used to have this thing called a telephone. And you would
we still have telephones. It's what they play video games on.
Right. They don't know that these things actually make calls.
Yeah. They're for texting and games.
They have no idea that
Facebook.
You can
they just need to rename it iDevice.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not like anyone uses
exactly.
It. And you can't slam it down.
No.
Yeah,
you
when
can't
you're angry.
Like forcefully hang
right?
up on somebody.
Yeah. It doesn't work anymore.
Can't get tangled up in the wire.
I said good day.
In the cord.
Nope, doesn't work.
Do you at home, do you have a landline?
Still do. One of the last people, probably.
Do you have a landline?
No, sir.
I didn't think so. Does your phone have a cord to it?
Just a short. I mean, well, no, we have one that has a cord to it, but it's minimal, and then two cordless. Okay. Yeah.
Wait a minute. You have three phones in the house? Three landlines?
It's just one phone, yeah. Not three landlines.
Hey, I'm on the phone. Get off the phone.
Mom!
I'm in the back! And I'm still on the phone!
You remember that?
Yeah, the cordless.
Pick up the
Mom,
phone.
Mom, I'm on the phone.
Hey, I'm on the phone. Some people just start picking up.
What's worse is
what's
worse is when your mom responds to you on the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, honey.
Yeah.
Was that
Let
me
mom? Know when you're done.
Yeah.
Or like if your siblings were like, "Hey, I'm on the phone." Okay. And you like the kind of the fake hang up, and then you just, "Oh, what are they talking about?" You know. And I'm like 10. I'm trying to hear out.
That was me.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what I was listening for.
Are you still there? I think my brother's still there.
Okay.
I'm not here.
Okay, how old were you when you called popcorn all night? You guys know remember popcorn?
Yeah,
oh,
that's,
I do. Absolutely.
Time.
The time.
It's called the time.
Yeah.
At the tone, the time
yes,
will be.
I would call popcorn like all night.
Why?
Because I wanted to hear the time change.
I got to do it in one more minute.
Right, so I would call just to hear the time change. Like, you already said it's 9:50. Hurry up, lady. Say 9:51. And I would sit there, and if it didn't work out, I would have to call back again. I loved it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so, kids, when we were there was a thing called popcorn. You dial it to get the actual time. It was actually pretty
How crazy is that?
And the popcorn spelled out the that was the letters that you would hit on the phone.
Two-sided question here. One, how crazy is that? Two, how old do we sound right now?
Pretty old.
I mean, we're all
popcorn,
super kids like when that
yeah.
I was like, I don't know, super young when that happened. I was like, good grief, we could call popcorn.
Should we hit the intro and start all over
no,
again?
No, this is fun.
How did we get here?
I don't know.
Oh, agents calling somebody.
Oh, calling.
Yeah.
Jason has a landline.
So I still hear that tone. I still get to hear it. You guys
not
call
being
me.
Able to hang up on somebody.
Yeah.
Not being able to. You have to press your phone. Take
hard,
that.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it doesn't even work because it's so sensitive to the touch.
Then go and send a really rude,
that's what was good about flip
emoji.
Phones.
Yeah.
That was good about flip phone because you could flip it hella hard.
That's true.
And it would shut hella hard. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't know, but you knew.
You knew.
Yeah.
You knew.
I showed them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that.
But who's really going to trade for that guy? Like, where does he go?
Know. I don't know. That's a lot of money.
Like,
he got the super duper max. That's a big deal.
In Chicago, they don't want him now. They got enough problems.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't go there now. That was a big deal. They were thinking about, hey, you can go to Chicago. Nuh-uh. Not today. Call back next week.
That's why I say Phil if it's
Call
Phil.
Back next week.
Careful what you ask for.
On my landline.
Yeah. Careful what you ask for, Phil. Because either answer's not good. Yes, no. I want to be a Nick. Oh. No, I don't want to be a Nick. Dang, I can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why'd you ask?
Yeah, they're going to have to ride this one out, I think. I don't know what they can do with that situation. Oh, well.
You're screwed.
Yeah.
You're
have
screwed,
fun
Uncle
with it.
Phil.
We got our own problems.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
We do. But there's no need to talk about them today because the Kings don't play today. They play tomorrow. So we'll talk about them. There were a lot of basketball games on yesterday. And as Jason Ross, I think it was Ken, eloquently predicted, the game sucked. It was terrible. I was watching wrestling by 5:15. It was absolute garbage. I flipped over right in time to see Brock Lesnar destroy everybody.
Ooh.
Right after Draymond Green had destroyed the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll get to Draymond in a minute. I want to touch on something real quick that totally escaped our attention yesterday. And yesterday, as you know, and we talked about, we celebrated Martin Luther King Day, and that's become a big basketball day. It's essentially the second Christmas Day in terms of it's a holiday for most. We were here. We know a lot of people were working because we got tons of texts and calls, and people were going through their normal drills. But for the most part, it's a national holiday, and the NBA looks at that as an opportunity to schedule marquee games where there'll be a lot of eyes on them, which is why you had Warriors-Cavs on Christmas Day, Warriors-Cavs 2 on MLK Day. But when you know the origins of NBA games on Martin Luther King Day, I didn't realize until our show was over, and when that night game came on, Memphis didn't have a game yesterday. And more specifically, there wasn't a game in Memphis.
Correct.
And if you know the original purpose of this, the first where they really started highlighting these MLK Day games, it was because of Memphis, and it was because they would have a special halftime ceremony for Dr. King in Memphis. And I think, you know, every Thanksgiving, the Detroit Lions and Dallas Cowboys play no matter what. Every Thanksgiving, at home, every MLK Day, Memphis needs to play a game at home. And as Ken pointed out to me before the show started, there wasn't a game in Atlanta yesterday either, which there should be.
Right.
But Memphis was the home of the original Martin Luther King Day game. That was the whole purpose for it being a marquee game. I think it was against Philadelphia. I apologize if I'm wrong. I think it was against the Allen Iverson versions of the Philadelphia 76ers. But if I'm wrong, forgive me for that. But they completely missed the boat on that. They completely missed it. And when I realized it, it bothered me.
Yeah, when you mentioned it to me, I mean, there are so many things about the day that bother me that I couldn't even choose it. But yeah, I feel like if you're going, you've got a point. If you're going to go through all this effort to make it an important day on the schedule, then go all the way and really make it an important day on the schedule where you honor the cities that are super important, not only to the man and the origin, everything that happens with the civil rights movement, and of course where everything ends in Memphis. So, I mean, I think it's just a situation where I'm not upset about it. I just feel like, you know what? Okay, maybe they just, for whatever reason, logistically, maybe they just dropped the ball. Maybe they just need to be, you know, reminded, hey, this would be probably better next year if you'd have games in these cities.
And just like they do on Christmas, like you said, I mean, it could be scheduled from here on out that Memphis is going to host. That's like where they start. This game, they're home. No matter who they play, they can map that around. Hey, usually the champs or the team that hosts on Christmas, they figure that out. That could be easily done. So I don't know that it was a scheduling issue. Maybe it was just an oversight, which is bad if it was.
And then my thing is,
maybe they don't even look at it as important. Maybe they fell into it and thought, oh, well, we just need to schedule games on MLK Day because it gets a lot of eyes. And, of course, there's the famous game where Kobe and Shaq squashed their whole beef after Shaq said he had a conversation with Bill Russell, and Bill said to him, you need to end this thing with Kobe. And it was on MLK Day where Kobe's stretching on the floor. And I think that moment took the game to a whole other level, but that took that day of games to a whole different level because Dr. King and peace and all of this, and made, you know, the NBA made it about that and tried to tie it all together. But then I think they forgot what they originally were doing the games for.
I think that could be said for 98% of the people that were referencing Dr. King yesterday, but that's a separate conversation. Can you do me a favor? Can you possibly refresh my memory on the Kobe Shaq thing? Because I don't remember what happened when they patched things up.
Yeah, I'm not remembering that either.
No, it was an MLK Day. It was Lakers Heat. Kobe was stretching on the ground. He was being stretched by a trainer. Shaq walked over to him, leaned over, gave him, you know, a handshake, and kind of said something to him. Pulled Kobe up. They hugged. He got down, went back to stretching, and then before the game, they had a big embrace before the game at the circle line, hadn't been doing up until that point. And that was the end of it. Shaq was asked afterwards, what made you go up to Kobe? He said, I was having a conversation. You know how he talks. I was having a conversation with the great Bill Russell, and Bill Russell told me, hey, it's Martin Luther King Day. It's about Pete. It's time to squash this thing with Kobe. And he did. And that was replayed forever.
Wow, okay.
And if you aired top 10 moments on NBA games from MLK, that would probably be the top one.
Absolutely. Oh, that's great. That's powerful. I did not know that. That also kind of underscores the need for, for lack of a better term, the need for the old guard, the need for your mentors to step in and that understand the context of what's happening and the cultural relevance of what's happening, to be like, and to be respected enough to say, hey, look, young brother, this is not the day for this. This is the day you need to turn this around. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, from experience, I'm a man who dealt with a whole lot of nonsense in the city of Boston winning championships, but I never stopped loving. And so that's huge when it comes from Bill Russell.
Yeah.
As we continue to move forward in situations like this, what is the next? Who's going to be that individual?
It's a great question.
You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be Michael Jordan, and it's not going to be Carmelo Anthony. I don't care
Irvin.
How many op-eds he writes about. I don't care about nine.
Irvin. Magic.
Magic Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this before. How we don't really have one. How we don't really have, and I don't just mean a black leader. I mean a leader for young athletes. We don't really have one. He's not vocal enough, Magic Johnson. He's business. We talked about this. He's corporate now. He doesn't have that pipeline to the players anymore where where they're going to respond to him immediately on things like that, like they would a Bill Russell. Bill Russell says, hey, come here, let me talk to you for a second. Oh, you
so,
run over
so
there.
So Bill Russell goes to Adam Silver and says, hey, I think you dropped the ball not having a game in Memphis yesterday. They listen instinctively.
Oh, my goodness.
No question about that.
You're right.
Magic Johnson does the same thing. You don't think Adam Silver listens?
I think Adam Silver does because Adam Silver is corporate too. But I'm talking about younger players. I'm talking about influencing the generation. I don't know.
And you don't think Magic could do that?
I don't think it has the weight of a Bill Russell, and that's what I'm looking for.
Well, I'm not sure that anyone has the weight of a Bill Russell.
But that's what you're looking
Russell
for.
Because Bill Russell is so, you know, I don't think you can get that until Bill Russell passes away. Then because Bill Russell is still Bill Russell.
That's true.
Like,
that's
you, true. Don't, you but, don't need to replace but, him when he's still here.
Well, true. Could it pass on? This is going to be an example that I don't know how much venom there is to their relationship now, but there's perceived venom between Westbrook and Durant. Let's say it's a TNT game on another MLK day in 2 years from now, if it grows to be a bigger feud, and Shaq's at the game and goes to one of them, probably Westbrook, I don't know who, and just says, hey, man, Bill Russell told me this one time. Me and Kobe ironed it out. It's time that, you know, would Shaq do that? Would Shaq pass that on?
You know who might be better than Shaq in that situation in particular is the other guy, Kobe. Kobe might be better than that because I think a lot of people look at Shaq sometimes as a cartoon character.
I can see that.
And I don't mean that in a negative term.
No, yeah.
Shaq than a Fool, all of this stuff, like comedy segments are built off of Shaq because of his personality. But if Kobe, who is a business, you know, he is all business when it comes to basketball. If he went to Russ and said, you know, man, I've been through this. It's not worth it.
I could see that. I could see the power
in
it.
Whatever your issue is from a couple of years ago.
That's an interesting question.
Squash it today.
I feel like Shaq would have a much greater impact because Kobe is seen as more aloof. And
Wouldn't that make him even more impactful?
But when you're aloof like that, Kobe's always been telling people how to do whatever. Always. He's always been telling you how to train, always been telling you how to work, how to win, how to play, how to follow. He's always been telling guys what to do. So I feel like I don't know if guys would respond because, like I said, Kobe's always got this aloof thing, this arrogance. We're like, dude, I don't want to listen to you.
I think Russell would.
Yeah?
Because I think Russell, if you had to compare his personality to somebody, it very well could be similar to Kobe Bryant's. He's more flashier than Kobe was.
Yeah.
Kobe didn't crave the off-the-court spotlight the way Russell Westbrook does. But I absolutely think it could be Kobe in that situation.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I also think you had to have been in that situation. Bill Russell's different because he is the godfather of the NBA.
Absolutely.
And if he talks, no matter what he says, they'll listen.
True.
But Kobe's been through it. And Shaq has too. I just think Shaq is looked at a little bit differently because he's constantly out there. He's fun. He's a media personality. Kobe's different.
I hear you. That's interesting, though. That's just something we just got to organically. I wonder who would be kind of a leader. We'll figure that out as we go on.
Well, we'll kind of continue this conversation because, you know, as we mentioned, the Warriors absolutely destroyed the Cavs, so you got to search for a talking point in there. A couple of things that are worth noting in terms of that game, that was the last of a 6-game, 10-day road trip for Cleveland. They didn't look interested. There were some weird situations with LeBron that we'll talk about at 12:30. But, you know, there's the obvious play with Draymond Green and LeBron James, and I heard the radio call. I think it was John Barry. And I heard, obviously, the TV call with Chris Webber. Both of the former players were adamant that it wasn't what LeBron was making it out to be. LeBron was acting. It wasn't a flagrant foul. Jason.
It's weird because when I've seen it, can it be both?
Cause it can be both.
I feel like, I mean, to me it was an unnecessary basketball play and some contact by Draymond. I think that's clear that's there. But then you're also seeing one of the bigger men in the sport flailing the head back. I mean, he got hit. I don't want to diminish the impact. But LeBron has also been guilty of this before where there's a slight elbow and it looks like he's been shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
So, but this one, I think there's contact. I think there's a past there too a little bit. I know both sides won't, or at least LeBron wants to say there's a rivalry there, I think. And so you put all the context in. I honestly think it's a little of both. I think it's a little excessive what Draymond did and excessive what LeBron did. I think there's some acting there.
Oh, there's definitely some acting there.
And let's get the narrative that Draymond Green was trying to strip the ball away.
Nah.
Because that you don't cross someone's body trying to strip the ball away. That's not how it happens.
It's amazing how one thing can make me change how I feel about people. Now, I kind of don't like LeBron right now.
Because of that?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm like, that's the second time you let that dude punk you. What you going to do, man? You going to let this dude punk you? Draymond sees LeBron is like, I can punk you on the court.
You think he punked LeBron?
Yes.
Really? And you're saying the second time, I assume you're referring to game four in the finals?
Yes.
When they got into their conversation?
Which might have been series changing.
It may have been, but LeBron.
Dude, you're looking at it the wrong way, bro.
No, I'm sorry.
You're looking at it the wrong way because
I'm looking at it my way.
And that's fine. Your way is the wrong way because look at it like this. He's not playing for Monday, January 16th.
That's fine.
He's playing for June.
You can keep saying that all you want to, but this goes back to what you
said. I'm talking about that call, that play. People are going to remember it. They're going to remember the game four. They're going to remember Draymond getting suspended. And when I say they, I mean the league.
Yes.
And I mean the referees.
Yes.
And that will influence the way the game is officiated in June.
See, here's my thing.
Or the series, excuse me.
At some point, you have to stand up and show everyone else, hey, this is not going to fly. Oh, you can sit over there and cry and whine to referees because you got fouled hard, but then a dude comes up and punks you, and you act like you just got, like you just said, shot out of a cannon. And then the dude mocks you openly on the court in front of everybody.
Well, what's he going to do? Can't get up and beat him up?
He got to do something. That dude's coming for him every time they play.
They're not on the street, man.
Yes, Draymond is.
I felt like he got in his face in the finals.
LeBron, he absolutely did
then when on the bigger stage. I mean, yesterday they're getting humiliated.
Dude, Monday, January 16th. It didn't matter.
Is it a game or not? Are we playing a game or not? Right?
Ain't got no time to be playing no games with
you
kids.
I'm just saying, are we playing a game or not?
Hold that thought. We'll come back. In really difficult to watch situation last night when LeBron got blocked by KD. Did we see LeBron get old right in front of our eyes? Holy smokes, 2 o'clock, Anthony Tolliver, 2:40, George Carl. We're just getting started here on the Lowdown.
Well played, producer extraordinaire Chris Verlot.
And if you missed the opening segment, go back, listen, subscribe to the podcast, Lowdown Podcast on iTunes. Never miss anything. It is 12:33. It is actually 12:34. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo at Cal Expo this Thursday through Sunday. George Carl at 2:40. Anthony Tolliver of your Sacramento Kings at 2 o'clock. Lots of reaction here on the text line at 44-1140 regarding LeBron James flopping. I agree with Ken. Bron just flopped and let Draymond make fun of him. Refs will look at the games in June and be able to say, no, he flops. We know it. I disagree.
He does have the flopping reputation. That is true.
Yes.
Yeah. But I just don't think the fact is that was a foul.
True.
Was he trying to get a higher degree of foul? Perhaps.
But look, man, I'm not trying to incite any trouble on the court, but guys talk about this all the time, about how you have to stand up for yourself and how you have to, you know, let guys know they're not going to be able to get away with certain things. And this combined with what you talk about with the subtweeting, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's starting to kind of make some sense to me. So you're going to subtweet about stuff you don't like, but you're not going to say anything to people on your team. This dude's going to punk you in nationally televised games and foul you hard and then look at you like, what you going
to
do?
What do you want him to do in that situation? What do you want him to do? Get up and punch him?
Like, get up
what
and do you, something.
Like You're, what, though?
Do something to show not only – sometimes you just got to show your fan base. Show your fan – what about the people in Cleveland watching this game? You're all here on the West Coast getting punked. And people in Cleveland like, dude, what are you doing? You just ran them on Christmas. You just came back from a 3-1 deficit. Now you're going to go out there and get run by 40 points, and you're not even going to fight
What
back.
Do you want to do, beat them every time?
If I'm in Cleveland, yeah. If I'm a Cleveland Cavalier fan, I'm like, yeah. Not just beat them every time, beat them up. Come
they didn't
on.
Beat them up on Christmas.
Deuce, well, that was still hurtful.
That game.
Oh, with yeah, Kyrie that hurt. Yeah, yeah, it
coming
hurt.
Coming back from that deficit, and then yeah. Kyrie hitting that jumper again. They're like, oh, come on, man.
But
that
hurt. KD didn't fall down by himself. That's what he said after the game. I didn't fall down by myself.
See? Whatever happens on that side, they got excuses when they lose. Because they want to win every single game. I don't understand guys giving games away or acting like it didn't matter when you just got your butt kicked by 40 points. How does that not matter?
I'm sure it does.
But they act like it doesn't.
Well, what do you want them to do?
Yes.
Cry about it?
I want them to be mad. Say, you know what? We came out here and played like knuckleheads. We should have come out here with much more energy. We just got that team just punked us.
Well, it's not like they went out in the press conference and said, ah, well.
Yeah.
Well, he did. He's like, well, it's not really a rivalry. Like, dude.
I think that's a different tone almost across the board.
That's
I think Tyronn
Lue
said that they got their butts kicked. Mm-hmm. Warriors kind of even before, no, it's not a rivalry. Then Clay had said, no, this game was important. We lost four straight times to these guys. So it's almost, there was mixed messages all over the place from both teams, I really thought.
Because everyone, it's gamesmanship, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone is trying to get their narrative out there. LeBron is the most passive-aggressive human right. being in the world, in all of sports. Nobody has that game mastered like LeBron James does.
Yep.
No, it's not a rivalry. No.
And then when they win again, he'll bring all this
he
stuff
will.
Up again. I'll be like, dude.
He'll say, I took the high road on MLK. Yes. And he'll say that.
You think so?
Maybe.
Oh,
he's
totally
recited
will.
Those things before.
Totally will.
But you know who he does that for? His fans in Cleveland. The same thing that you were just barking about, Ken. He did that at the parade when he talked about, you know, I know he made a crack about MVP and most valuable player at that parade. Is that what you want? Because he did it then.
See, it's easy to do it after you won, right? It's
doesn't
easy.
It make the most sense to do it after you win?
Well, how about the confidence of a Muhammad Ali saying, like, no, I'm going to beat you. Don't worry about it. I got you. I'm coming to get you. Like,
because this isn't one game. This
true.
Isn't one fight.
That's
this is
fine.
Seven.
See, even if
probably.
You lose, even if you lose, I don't have a problem with you saying, hey, we're coming to get that. Even if you lose, you still stated your intentions up front like a man. You're like, I'm coming to get what you got. Not, oh, we're just going to play and then whatever happens. Then after, I got all your money. I took all your after the fact.
Took your girl.
Right? Yeah. Like, oh, I got these cupcakes. Oh, I got these cupcakes because you guys lost 3-1 lead. Like, man, that's punk stuff. Be a man.
But this was a 35-point loss. Like, there was no point they were in the game. Like, it was 7-0 from the get-go.
That's
and
even more the point to not let that dude punk you on the court. You're yeah. already getting your butt whipped. Don't let that dude come over there and physically intimidate you, too. He just knocked you on the ground and then mocked you. And you didn't do anything. He did nothing.
I don't understand what you want him to do. I
hey,
still don't understand
even
that.
Dr. J punched Larry Bird. Basketball's
yeah, wow.
basketball. Basketball's basketball.
Dude, but that's not basketball.
Look, man.
That was a long time ago. That stuff
right?
does not happen. LeBron wouldn't see the floor again for the entire year if he went over there and punched Draymond Green.
Really? If he
yes.
punched Draymond Green?
Yes.
If he, really?
Yes. You can't go punching people,
sure
even when they deserve it.
You sure the league wouldn't be like, okay, look here, man. He needed that first one. We're going to let you slide. Don't do it
oh,
again.
Right. right. Like, he's going to punch someone in the face, and they're going to say, yeah.
But he's also the darling of the league.
He's the king.
He's the Kang.
He's the Kang.
So what they going to do with the Kang? You ain't going to suspend the Kang. If you mean to tell me.
Give him a 3-game suspension.
That, no, he'll give him that the Duke, the Grayson Allen suspension.
Oh, yeah. Indefinite suspension.
Right, exactly.
He'll be back on Tuesday.
Yeah. But you mean to tell me, really, with that hard foul, which was obviously intentional and flagrant, and if LeBron gets up and goes back at Draymond, you think they're really going to punish LeBron like they would somebody else?
Well, you're opening up for a lot of scrutiny if you don't.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he
scrutiny,
would get the
that's
same.
That's just how it is. That's how it is.
They suspended Carmelo for, was it 20-something games? 16-something? They suspended it when he sucker-punched somebody
yeah, that's
in the middle of a brawl.
That's different.
And that was the first. I feel like could be wrong. I feel like that was the first major incident after the Malice in the Palace. Was that, that and in, that's probably with Denver? And
those are probably connected, right?
Yeah. I'm sure that, they are.
And it, and, sure and it being are. A sucker punch.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? The intent and how it was done.
So do they look at Draymond and go, okay, like you said?
He's always starting trouble. Mm-hmm.
Are you getting more – what's more tiring, Draymond's antics or DeMarcus's?
Hmm. One of them results in wins.
Yeah.
I don't know that Draymond's antics results in wins. It just so happens he wins despite his antics.
Well, I think that's why they're looked differently. Honestly, if you flip those guys, if Cousins was doing what he's doing – and he was on the Warriors, and they're winning all the time. And Draymond's doing what he's doing, and he's on the Kings, and they're losing all the time. I think they're both looked at differently.
Would Draymond be able to get triple doubles on this team?
He might, but I mean, if he's doing all the same,
he said he can get a triple double any night he wants. That's what he said.
Yeah, on that team. Yeah, you got three guys around here going to make jumpers, three pointers all day long. All you do is pass the ball to them.
Go average it next year. Challenge Russell Westbrook.
My Draymond fatigue is high.
More so than number 15?
No. Not more than 15. We'll come back. Jason, you nailed this one on the head yesterday. NFL, Sunday Night Football. We'll explain next here on The Lowdown. It's 12:47, time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo at Cal Expo this Thursday through Sunday. Thank you for being here with us on The Lowdown. Anthony Tolliver of your Sacramento Kings at 2 o'clock. George Karl at 2:40. We noted that Carmelo Anthony had a meeting with the New York Knicks today to discuss his future. We have now learned from Ramona Shelburne that that was a, ready for it?
Phone call.
A contentious meeting between the two.
How is it contentious? Okay. Before you continue,
I posed the question when we read the initial tweet as it ended that way. Ramona Shelburne says, Knicks and Carmelo meet to discuss Carmelo's future. The end. So that was probably from Phil's people. Mm-hmm. The fact that the meeting was contentious, the first thing you said, that's probably from an agent.
From an agent.
That's probably from an agent.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. As a reporter, what is she trying to do? Is she trying to tease us to watch something later? Because you're not giving me anything. As a reporter, you're not giving me anything. You're saying it's contentious. Okay. Why? What's the proof that you have it was contentious? Are you trying to entice me to watch the show? Is that what that is? Is there an article attached to that?
It's not a tease. It's not like the little Grant Napier buffer right. You just heard right
then
there.
That's not journalism.
That's Twitter. Don't start this again, Ken.
Hmm. No, I'm just saying. That's a waste of time.
It's a different world. It doesn't matter. You know, you got to be fast, not accurate.
Yeah, this Twitter is messed up.
You got to be fast, not accurate.
Twitter and all you knuckleheads
out
there.
Stop it with your blogs and podcasts.
Blogs and podcasts don't bother me anymore.
You've cooled down in the last week.
I just moved on. I'm like, whatever. I don't care. You guys keep doing what you're doing.
You are a certain kind of special sometimes, man. I don't know what to do with you.
I'm just trying to live my life,
man. That's Twitter, man. That's just the way it is. She gets a text from Phil Jackson. Hey, I met with Carmelo Anthony today to discuss his future.
Then shouldn't that text say that?
That's what I'm saying. That's probably what it said.
Shouldn't that tweet say that?
That it came from Phil?
Yes.
No, you know better than that. Come on. I realize you're an anchor and not a reporter, but you know better than that. Part of the fun for me, because I've seen sources give stuff to certain people, is to read something and go, okay, I think I know who that came from. Okay, I think I know what side, at least, that came from. It was like that mess with the Sacramento Kings a year ago or whatever it was. You have all of these. George Karl was informed at a dinner meeting or at a lunch meeting with his closest confidants that okay, wait a minute. How the hell did you know that? So let's pick apart who knew George Karl was at a meeting with his coaches. What the freaking temperature outside was like. Okay, I can narrow it down now. Who's leaking stuff from that aspect of the Sacramento Kings?
What happened to attributing?
You can't attribute if they don't. You can't attribute if they don't want you to.
Then how am I trusting your information?
There's no Watergate if there's attributing to.
True, but there was a source. We knew the source was a guy.
There's a source
had
here.
A name. There's no source listed. Right.
What do you want to say? It came from Deep Throat? What do you want to do?
What should she
sources
say?
Close to the Sources close to the investigation.
Is that what it says?
No, that's not what it says.
She says it coming
it says,
from her,
It doesn't
from
say
her
it's
mouth.
Coming from... No.
What's it say?
Sources.
Sources. But it's really only one source. So that's a lie right there.
Well, it might be two. It might be Phil on the first one, and like Damian's saying, agents on the second. Like, here's our... We see the first tweet. Oh, really? That's the first tweet? All right,
okay,
now,
let's give you our narrative.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't a good conversation. Now, that's their angle.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Playing the media.
Or it's her putting that out there, and then her immediately texting Carmelo or Carmelo's agent or Carmelo's, you know, the people close to him. Yeah. Hey, how did that meeting go? It was contentious. Can I use it? Yep. Okay, got it.
Then why won't you? I don't get it.
You
okay.
can't, man. You can't.
Okay. Actually, you can, but okay.
No, you can't. I think most of the time these so-called sources, I think most of them are players. I think they're players or they're high up officials within a team, depending on the circumstance.
Well, here's a question: if you're not citing your sources, aren't you just basically, for lack of a better term, you're basically going to become Adam Schefter at ESPN? You're going to be a mouthpiece for somebody unless you cite the source.
Adam Schefter's an insider.
But we've talked about this. He doesn't necessarily say where it's coming from, and then you figure it out. That's coming directly from the player, and you're a mouthpiece right now.
Yeah, but that's something I figured out. That's something we figured out. I don't think most people reading Adam Schefter's Twitter line put thought into things like that. I put thought into it only because I heard him do an interview the same day. I go back to the Vince Young thing.
Yeah.
And when Vince Young, I'm not trying to like be funny here, for lack of a better term, he essentially ran away.
Yeah, he was.
Right?
Yeah, he was missing.
And it was clear the way Adam Schefter was tweeting, the way he was talking. His source was Vince Young. And you find out later, it was all coming directly from Vince Young. And people buddy up to Adam Schefter. He's a younger guy. He hangs out with the player. Jay Glazer's the same exact way. That's what insiders are. And sometimes they attribute the source to the players, and sometimes they're told to keep it quiet. I guarantee you team officials probably know if they see Glazer and Gronk hanging out and suddenly a story breaks on Gronk, I'm sure they can put two and two together.
And maybe it's different I'm trying to think from, let's say, Carmelo's perspective. He could tweet it himself. But it seems different if let my agents say the meeting was contentious. Or go to a media member that I know will protect me and say, this didn't go well, as opposed to, that's why you have Twitter, to explain your own cause of things. That's why athletes seem to like it, but none of them seem to go, yeah, I had a meeting, it stunk. I didn't like what Phil had to say. Well, that's the perfect spot to do it, but they don't do it that way.
That's all messy. All right. Sorry.
I'll pose this question to you, 44-1140, Tex Nation. Do you think Jordan wouldn't stand up to Draymond?
Jordan wouldn't have to.
His whole team would.
The whole team would come in there and get it. That's kind of my point. LeBron does not. He doesn't seem to either.
It's MLK Day, man. You can't have no.
I'm not saying. Look, man, the dude came at him. I'm just saying. It's like he doesn't seem to elicit that kind of support from his guys.
Oh, he does. Richard Jefferson was right there in Draymond's face. Richard Jefferson was right there in Draymond, the elder statesman.
Thank you, because he's an older school player that's understood, hey, we don't do this. Uh-uh, man, that's not going to fly. He understands that, I think. Maybe the other guys don't understand it. I don't know. There's something missing, though.
I love Chris Webber as an analyst. I think he underplayed that play way too much.
Yeah?
He acted like LeBron was barely touched, and he just, like, Vlade Divac flailed to the floor.
He got hit, but he did flail, like, big time. He sold it crazy.
Well, he sold it. That's fine. but John Berry and Chris Webber both were like, oh, come on. He was a better actor in on that play than he was in Trainwreck.
Right.
Like, oh, come on, man. He was great in Trainwreck. Jason, you nailed this yesterday. I didn't think there was any way that this was going to be a topic of conversation for the NFL. Stupid me, the NFL, driven by dollars, driven by eyeballs, driven by ratings. We talked about the massive audience that watched the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers, and the massive audience that watched a totally unscheduled, by the way, Sunday night football game between the Chiefs and the Steelers. The NFL was so pleased about that. There's a high probability we're going to start seeing Sunday night football playoff games, which they have traditionally stayed away from, particularly in the divisional round.
Yeah, I see it. I mean, that they market Sunday night football in America. Sunday night's a good television watching night. They had great success. Now, they had a good game and good kind of traditional teams, But even if that was maybe the least appealing, which was New England and Houston, if that game was scheduled there, I think that would have done well.
I think I'll go back to – I mean, I'll ride or die with Mike Tomlin. I don't think it's fair. That's a day – that's a whole day and a half. I mean, he noted, he said in the video, so much has been said about Antonio Brown doing the Facebook Live thing that a lot of what Mike Tomlin actually said is getting drowned out by the fact that Antonio Brown was Facebooking Live for 17 minutes in the locker room. But he was sitting there screaming at his team, like, look, we're going to play the Patriots. We're getting home at 4 a.m. They've been chilling since yesterday afternoon. I thought the NFL would look at that and like, we can't do that. That's a competitive disadvantage moving into the conference championship.
Talking dollars.
You hit the nail. I was wrong, Jason. You were absolutely right. There's been a lot of talk about rivalries over the course of the last few days, but are there any? And who's the biggest diva in sports? That's coming up next in Three the Hard Way.